Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about a new physical therapy center in Billings, a federal lawsuit about how the FBI handled a Crow Man's murder, and new data released from a survey of Montana voters and what it reveals about the state's political divides. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. It's August 9th. Happy Friday! The publisher of the neo-Nazi website The Daily Stormer must pay more than $14 million in damages to Whitefish real estate agent Tanya Gersh. A U.S. District Court judge yesterday officially adopted the recommendation from a federal magistrate judge. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
The magistrate judge recommended in July that Englund pay $14 million in damages for his 2016 trolling campaign on The Daily Stormer. Now, Englund is officially being ordered to pay. David Dinelli is deputy legal director at the Southern Poverty Law Center, which represented Gersh.
The message here is that the conduct is illegal and that the courts will hold you accountable. We're hopeful that this judgment also will provide a mechanism for us to make certain that Andrew Englund does not engage in this kind of behavior again.
Dinelli says the Law Center will seek both real and intellectual property from Englund if he does not pay restitution. In a press release, Gersh called Thursday's decision a win for her, her family, and the community. Englund could not be reached for comment in time for this story. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A scheduled auction of a Wyoming energy company's assets has been delayed again. The Gillette News Record reports the Thursday auction for Cloud Peak Energy Corp has been rescheduled for August 15th. The Gillette-based firm operates the Antelope and Cordero Rojo coal mines in Wyoming and the Spring Creek mine in southern Montana. The company is selling its assets to cover nearly $400 million in outstanding debt. Thursday's auction was originally scheduled for August 1st. A medical center dedicated exclusively to injury rehabilitation opened in Billings this week. They say their facility is unique in the state. Kayla DeRoche reports.
An alarm goes off at the Rehabilitation Hospital of Montana on Billings West End. Staff is testing the alarm system in the neuro wing, which is geared towards patients with brain injuries. It triggers when a person exits this section of the clinic without a hospital pass and is to make sure that patients who require extra monitoring don't leave. Traumatic brain injuries are one of the more common injuries to require physical rehab. CEO Julie Hauck says stroke, diabetes-related amputations, and trauma connected with accidents are fairly common across the United States. She says that's why Montana needed a hospital like this one.
A lot of our patients currently go out of state. They go to Denver, they go to Wyoming, they go to Idaho, they go to the Dakotas, and now they can stay local, hopefully, or at least closer to home.
She says Billings Clinic, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Kindred Healthcare launched the 34-bed center on Monday. It features multiple spaces with wide, padded physical therapy tables, parallel bars, and exercise machines. Director of Therapy Randy Kuhanowitz says a facility like this one puts all the resources, therapies, and assistance to patients in one place.
They come here and there's a lot of unknown, uncertainty, a lot of depression. And to be able, as a therapist, to go in and work with these folks, to let them know that they're going to be okay, that we're here to help them, that we're going to get them back home, to be a part of that for me is very rewarding.
CEO Julie Hauck says they have a few weeks before they're up for accreditation, which she's confident they'll get. Until then, their few patients are there for free. She says that's a chance for staff to get used to the new setting, equipment, and day-to-day business of the center. When fully active, Hauck says costs may range from $15,000 to $25,000, depending on things like medication and length of stay. She says the average stay nationally is 14 days. Kayla DeRoche, YPR News.
A federal lawsuit about how the FBI handled a Crow Man's murder will be tried by a judge, not jury. Olivia Reingold reports.
U.S. District Judge Sam Haddon denied Stephen Bear Crane's family's request for a jury trial Thursday and said he'd do one of two things, dismiss the case as the government has requested or hold a bench trial to settle disputed facts. Arlene Cole walked away from the Helena courtroom seeing a silver lining in the decision.
I am taking it as a win because we are moving forward. It was not dismissed.
Over a decade ago, Cole and her husband Cletus filed a case against the Federal Bureau of Investigations and others on behalf of their son, Stephen Bear Crane. Bear Crane, a Crow tribal member, was shot and killed by a white man on the Crow Reservation 14 years ago. The FBI determined he was killed in an act of self-defense, but his family maintains that he was murdered. In courtrooms across the country, from the 9th U.S. Circuit Appeals Court in Seattle to the U.S. Supreme Court, the Cole family has argued that their son's death was mishandled because of racism towards Native Americans. But Cole says for 10 years, she hasn't been able to address those claims.
Government keeps pulling up all these little technicalities. What happened to the murder of our son?
Bear Crane's family is arguing that they're entitled to victims' benefits because the FBI misclassified the shooting. Judge Haddon says he'll schedule a pretrial conference where both parties will meet to discuss things like the scope of the trial. The FBI did not respond to requests for comment made by phone and email on time for broadcast. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
New data released from a survey of Montana voters reveals details about the state's political divides. It shows what voters think of candidates not originally from Montana, whether people think teachers should be able to carry guns in schools, and voter preferences on government spending, as well as their trust in news media. The data comes from a pair of polls funded by Montana State University and Montana Television Network, mailed to voters before and after the 2018 general election. More than 2,000 voters responded to the questions about their political beliefs in the poll leading up to the election, and more than 1,400 in the post-election poll. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney spoke with MSU Assistant Professor of Political Science Eric Riley about what the surveys found.
So on voters' trust of different media sources and news outlets, when I was looking through the data, there was a pretty big difference between how Montanans viewed national and local media sources. Can you walk us through that?
Yes. So we asked about 10 different media sources, and people do tend to trust local television, local newspaper, and public radio more than they do those national sources. So that definitely shows up. Where you really start to see differences is when you dig into differences across partisan identification.
What were some of those differences?
Democrats are relatively trusting of most of the sources of information, including late-night television, which is maybe a little bit concerning, but they were relatively trusting of the Wall Street Journal, MSNBC, the New York Times, and CNN. They were not at all trusting of Fox News and conservative talk radio. If you look at Republicans, they are likely to trust Fox News and conservative talk radio, to a lesser extent local television, but they are more distrusting of virtually every other source than every other group. And we have Republicans, we have Democrats, independents, and then we had another category into which people sorted themselves. Independents in the other category don't trust much except for local TV and radio and public radio, or newspapers rather, and public radio. But what this suggests overall is that given that Republicans are trusting Fox News and conservative talk radio and are pretty distrusting of most other information sources, some of the corporate strategies and the messaging about fake news and biased news seems to have taken hold. But also that the Republicans and Democrats, much like we see nationally, are getting really different information and they're speaking different languages as a result. And we've seen prominent politicians talking about how our citizenry is split up and living in different realities, and we're seeing that replicated here as well to some extent.
So with Montana voters having very different media sources that they trust for their news and information, how does that bear out in what kind of issues the respondents of the survey are saying are important to them, and how does that break down by party?
So there are some partisan differences when you look at policies and confidence in different institutions. So if we look at policies, for example, the views on the healthcare law and the more recent tax law are very much based on partisanship. And that's what we see nationally as well. There's more of a split among independents. The folks in the other group aren't a big fan of the healthcare legislation. But you do see, and this was interesting, I thought, that we asked about increasing taxes on households making more than $250,000, and there was significant support across the board, including among that Republican group. There's widespread support for work requirements for Medicaid and for protecting federal lands. You see more of that partisan polarization when you ask about teachers being able to carry guns. Illegal immigration, however, is again, you see widespread evaluation of that being a serious problem.
And what did the survey show about how people wanted or didn't want their tax dollars being spent in the ways that the government is spending money?
That too, I thought was interesting because there's significant support for the federal government spending more. We actually asked whether people thought the government, federal government, was spending too much or the right amount or too little. And there was big groups of people who said the government is spending too little on things like assistance to farmers, scientific research, reducing crime, environmental protection, Social Security, and there were a few other priorities as well. The one big difference is that most people thought that we were spending too much on assistance to other countries.
And how much of this is broken down just to the federal government, or how much of it is both spending by Montana state and spending by the federal government?
The question's only asked about national spending, so it's not broken down that way.
Do you see any indicators of political preferences or issues that are strong in voters' minds that could indicate what we'll see in the lead up to 2020?
Within the state, we see really strong support for environmental protections and for protecting federal lands. So that was a big deal in the last cycle. I think it will continue to be, given people's partisan views. What immigration is among Montanans is fairly one-sided. I think, especially with the presidential race being a part of it, we're going to continue to see a lot of focus on immigration in the next cycle. Healthcare and taxes are continue to be divisive, so I expect the two major parties to continue to use those to try to rally their bases and to try to disparage the other side. And given the lack of trust in a lot of government institutions, I would expect continued attacks on government. Though, given what we see with people wanting to or thinking that we could spend more on all kinds of different federal priorities, there's some room for those kinds of proposals as well.
There was a question that asked people what quality in a candidate most mattered when they were casting their vote. And the top were sharing values, followed by good judgment by the candidate. And I found it interesting that far behind those was a candidate having the right experience. And then way behind that were people saying they wanted a candidate that was born in Montana. So very few cared about that.
That last piece that you pointed out, I think, is an interesting finding. And I'm not sure the campaigns are aware of it, because when you see advertising, you see a lot of emphasis being placed on whether candidates are from or not from Montana and how many generations their family has been here. And according to the people who are voting, it doesn't matter all that much. Candidates' values and judgment are overwhelmingly the reasons that voters say that they're choosing one candidate over another. And values they're pretty inflexible. They're kind of what we see as really important in the world. And they're a pretty simple heuristic or rule of thumb for people to use. If people are voting on those bases, I think we're going to continue to see contentious elections. I think we're going to see people continuing to talk past one another. And there's a lot of focus by the media on policies and qualifications, and it just doesn't seem like it matters that much.
I often hear the line from politicians or people in this political sphere that say the country is becoming very divided and more divided than it has been. In these survey results, does that bear out?
There's definitely a division. People are they're trusting different information sources. A lot of the views on issues and policies are very much partisan. And so we do see that replicated in Montana, at least between people who are identifying as Republican and Democratic.
Did you have some pieces of information or one survey question that really stood out to you?
I think overall Montanans are still pretty conservative. We'll see how that changes as the demographics change. Another piece here that I didn't talk about is that overall there's a majority preference for smaller government, and people see big government as a bigger threat than big business, and those are more conservative kinds of views that we're continuing to see within the state.
Eric Riley is an assistant professor of political science at Montana State University and director of the HELPS Lab. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
More than 10,000 Montana voters were randomly selected to receive the 2018 Montana election surveys sent out before and after the 2018 election. The results of the two polls come a margin of error of plus or minus 2.0 percentage points and plus or minus 2.6 percentage points, respectively. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds on Monday.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.